Last week we were talking about the sugya of Topher and Kareya. The two malachas really go hand in hand. What you're not allowed to sew, you're not allowed to rip. We're not allowed to rip, you're not allowed to sew. There was a big machlokes that we showed him about whether there was an important criteria that was necessary to be met in order for these malachas to be violated. That was the question of kayama. Is it necessary to be dealing with the tefirah shel kayama, stitches that are going to last? Is it necessary to have something that's shel kayama in order to violate the iser of kareya as well? So we saw two different opinions in the Rishon about this, and we saw that the Ramah Paskin me'ika mikra that it's okay. The Ramah recommends not to publicize his heter too much. I guess we consider this to be a small group of people. We're not such publication. The Ramah says we shouldn't tell the Yehudim about this too fast, because if you do so, people may end up being mezals and the man taking lightly issues of Teifer and Kareya. But me'ika mikra din, the Ramah holds it's mutter. We're going to see as we go on that some modern day applications we may be able to actually be making on. But even within the sugya of Kayama, we saw there's so much discussion, such a machlokes about how do you define Kayama exactly. A lot of it is a throwback from Kosher, which was the original source for Kayama. We weren't sure back in the Malach of Kosher, where we know Kayama does play a role. That's a Gemara that Kayama plays a role. We're not sure whether Kayama means a day, means a week, more than a week, very unclear. Just what are the actual parameters of Kayama itself. But when it comes to Topher, there are two very, very important shilas that revolve around this idea of Kayama. Again, assuming that Kayama is a factor in terms of the loss of Topher and Kareya, there are two very, very important issues that are raised. And the answer to these questions is going to make or break it for so many of the modern day shilas that we have. We have so many issues of Kareya and Topher that come our way, from diapers to Band-Aids, other scenarios. So let's see if we could just fine-tune a little bit what some of the background of defining what Kayama is all about, and then be able to really plug it in Lamaisa for us. So one important shaila in terms of Kayama, something that we alluded to quickly at the end of the show last week, is as follows. Let's say I have something that literally on the clock or on the calendar is Kayama. Namely, I have an item in front of me that has been, quote-unquote, sewed together or stuck together, whatever the halakha of sewing is, for a very, very long time. It has been together for the last 10 years. So if you ask me, obviously that's kayama, not so fast. What if, when it was originally connected, it was done so with the intent of undoing it at any moment, at moment's notice? Now, lemaise, it wasn't undone. Lemaise, it's been together for a long time, but it was done specifically with the intent of being ripped apart in a minute, in a day, in a week, in a month, in a year. Nobody really cares when they made it. They knew full well that it quite possibly could be undone in a momentarily, but lemaise it has not yet happened. So we're going to talk about this a little bit later on. This is all the issue of factory-made stuff. Anything that's made in a factory, a diaper that was stuck together, a Band-Aid that was stuck together, anything that was connected together with the clear-cut intention of to be opened by customer at any given moment. Is that viewed through the eyes of Kayama, or is that viewed through the eyes of Eino Kayama? Do we say that's Kayama because Lamaisa, it's been stuck together for 6 months? Or do I say, no, that's called Eino Kayama because it could have easily have been undone at any given moment? So that's one issue to put on the back burner. Now we have another issue. Also, may very well be related to this also. What if you have the following shadow? What if I stick two things together in a way that practically they are going to stay stuck for a while? They will be together for X amount of time, whatever that X is, more than a week, more than a 6 months, more than a year, more than 20. They're going to be around for a long time. But quite frankly, I couldn't care less about how long they're going to remain together. It doesn't really bother me. It means after a couple of hours, I'm fine if it would separate. Now, I know in my heart of hearts, it's not going to separate. I know that it's not going to fall apart, but I don't really care whether it stays together or not. Is that called Kayama? Is that not called Kayama? That's a further shaila. One could suggest that these two shailas actually depend on one another. Namely, that it almost boils down to a fundamental question. Who determines Kayama? What's the essence of Kayama? If Kayama is a very objective number on the clock, on the calendar, if it's X amount of hours, X amount of days, that is Kayama. And the human mind, the psychological reasons as to why I am or why I'm not, and when I'm planned, I don't want to hear any boom lights, I don't hear any stories, not interested in discussing. I'm a stickler for details. Tachlis. Did it meet the following criteria? Check. It was together for a week. Check. It was not together for a week. X. Whatever you think the objective number is, that's it. What do I say? No. These numbers, these shiurim of kayamos, this concept of kayama, we always have to keep on reiterating to ourselves that the rule of kayama doesn't even appear explicitly in the Gemara by Tofer and Korea. It appears by Kosher, and it's carried over by Ben Rishon to Tofer and Korea. So this world of kayama, whether it's rooted in Mishkan, whether it's rooted in definition, whatever you think the source for this din that may or may not exist is it really a function of an absolute time on the clock? Or it's more of a description of what a person views as being something of significance, something that people view something important. If it's here for a long, long, long time, that's a malacha. That's something we have to reckon with in Shabbos. Something that in the mind, b'nei Adam, the fear is b'nei Adam, this is something easy come, easy go. Something that's easy come, easy go. Nobody knows about, nobody cares about, nobody thinks about. That's felt in the Kayamas. That's the chzar in the Kayamas. Was Kayama an objective number on the clock in the calendar? Was Kayama almost like a way of determining what is the Kamana Sagavra in terms of just how choshev is this particular action? If you take the second approach, then there would be a lot more wiggle room in terms of watering down what Kayama means, in the sense of that if Lamaisa, these two papers were stuck together, these two pieces of material were threaded together, with the clear-cut intention of opening up at moment's notice, even though Lamaisa didn't happen, at the end of the day, nobody took it apart yet. At the end of the day, it's been stuck together for 20 years. But when it was originally stuck together, it was done in such a way that nobody really cared about how long it stayed together. One could argue that if the rule of Kayama is just simply a way of measuring, it's a barometer to measure what the Kavanas Agavra is. If the Kavanas Agavra is taka that it's not Shel Kayama, so even though it's quote unquote Kayama, but halachni, that's not called Kayama. And from the other side as well, that what if I tie two things together or I stick two things together and I do it in a way that lemaisa it's going to last for the next 1,000 years. But if you ask me, do I care that it's going to last for 1,000 years? I couldn't care less when it lasts for another 10 minutes. So one could argue that if you go down the first route, that Kayama is an absolute chayk v'lo yavar. Don't ask any questions. Kach nemer halocha. It has to be Kayama. It has to be Kayama. So if it's Kayama, it's Kayama. But if you say no, Kayama is just a way of measuring it's a way of assessing what the person's plans were, just how important, just how significant, just how critical the person is taking the permanence of this knot and the permanence of this stitching is indicative of just how chashuv malach it is. If that's the case, so then you have to always ask the person what he's thinking. It's not just what it looks like. It's what the person's mindset is. And if his mindset is he couldn't care less, how long it lasts, so then so be it. So then that wouldn't pose a problem of kayama. So those two shilas, namely whether you determine based on the actual knot or the actual stitching, or whether you go both to the Kavanas or Adam with the two different ramifications, this is going to set the stage for a very, very serious shilas for us in terms of some of the issues we mentioned, the band-aids, the diapers, etc. Do we have any rayas to this shilas? We're throwing out this theoretical shilas. Like it's a poiskim, some poiskim is up the zoi, some is up the zoi. Do we have any rayas, any proofs from the Gemara? So there are two fascinating proofs that are suggested by later poiskim that may shed some light on this. Neither of them are from Masechet Shabbos per se. They're from two different Masechtas, one of Masechet Sukkah, one of Masechet Yuma, that interact with sugyos vis-a-vis Malachos, that may not be good rayas to one of these two studies. So what is the sugya, the third pack of Sukkah? We learned the third pack of Sukkah in the Yunshirim Tuesday night. We haven't quite gotten to this part of the sugya yet, but in the third pack of Masechet Sukkah, so the Gemara discusses the possibility of making a knot on a lulav on Yom Tov itself. Now, why in the world is the person making a knot in the first place? So we spoke about this already in the Tuesday night shiur at great length. There's a machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim about whether the lulav tzarech eged lulav ein tzarech eged. In order to fulfill the mitzvah dal minim, is it necessary to tie together the lulav hadasim and the arabis? Well, can I just take, as long as I take all of them, even though they're flying all over the place, they're not connected to a bundle, that would also be okay. So we have a debaskin lulav ein tzarech eged, but nevertheless, the Gemara says, l'chatchila mishum hidda mitzvah, it's appropriate to tie them. Otherwise, you walk to shul, the hadassim are falling on the floor, your rabbis are flopping all over the place, your lulav's here, sort of slipping down between your fingers. Doesn't look nice, doesn't look pretty. So therefore, l'chatchila, we baskin you're supposed to tie them together. But b'diavad we pass that lulav ein tzarich eged. There's one opinion in the Gemara that says lulav tzarich eged. Rabbi Yehuda learns that from a pasuk which we don't accept. Rabbi Yehuda says that no, that there's a kosov, the whole drasha Rabbi Yehuda has that we don't follow. That lulav by eged, lulav tzarich eged, even a love of deraisa. The Gemara discusses the possibility in Masechet Sukkah of actually making that eged on Yom Tov itself. So the Gemara says, forget, you're not allowed to do that. That would be a very, very serious problem of making an eged on a lulav on Yom Tov itself. So come, both can say, why is that so terrible? What's so gefährlich about tying a lulav on Yom Tov? Why is it so bad? Now, for us, it's a little bit hard to understand that the egeds that we do are a little bit funny kinds of egeds. But if a person would mamish take, you know, something and make really knots and everything around the bundle together, so the Gemara says, no, you can't do that on Yom Tov. Why not? Some Achronim pose the question, isn't it a kesher she'eino shel kayoma? The kesher is not going to last for all that long. Why isn't the kesher going to last for all that long? Because Sukkos is going to be over in a week. So when Sukkos is over, the kesher is going to self-destruct. Really? That's the first thing I do. I always undo my, take up my kesher, no shot. Some people do, but they love dafka. So why do we think that the kesher is going to somehow unravel after a week? So the answer is, it's not going to unravel after a week, but I couldn't care less about it after a week. What person is sitting around his house on Chanukah and contemplating, gee, Baruch Hashem, my kesher, my lulav still around. He checks his lulav every couple of days to make sure the kesher is still there. Chajok, it's a late tzaddis. Obviously, when Hoshana Rabbah comes, he puts the lulav down, fit it for the year, and finish Gemara. So at that point, he doesn't care about it. Now, according to many poskim, the shear of Kayom is actually a week. We're machmir 24 hours, but there are many Rishonim who say the shear is a week. So if the shear is a week, so then why is a lulav tie called the kesher chayama? The Gemara seems to say the tying the lulav on Sukkot is a disaster. That's called the kesher chayama. Why is that a kesher chayama? What kayama is that? Says the person's planning on undoing it, not literally undoing it, but he's planning on being mesiach das from it at the end of the week. He couldn't care less about it at the end of the week. Because if the fellow couldn't care less about it at the end of the week, that in of itself should undermine its serving as a kesher. But the Gemara says it's a kesher. The Gemara says it is a kesher. It is a kesher chayam. How is it a kesher chayam? The guy doesn't care about it. So the answer is, we don't care what he doesn't care about. All we care about, I said the word care three times in that sentence. All we care about is that lemaisa, it's still stuck together. So when Chanukah comes, the lulav, hadas, and rubbers will still be tied together. I don't care about it being tied together, but it will be still tied together. And therefore, that's called a kesher shel kayama. So according to one whole group of poskim, and the fact that the Gemara in Sukkah calls this a kesher koyama, knowing full well that the guy doesn't care about it afterwards, that seems to indicate that his caring or not caring doesn't really make a difference. And if it's going to remain a kesher, so be it. That is still considered to be a kesher koyama. So others suggest that maybe no. Others suggest that maybe it's not a raya. Why is it not a raya? So some of you remember from the Tuesday night chevra, that we quoted, there was a whole sugya at the beginning of the third part of Masechet Sukkah about the sugya of lulav hayofish. When a lulav dries up, is it acceptable for the mitzvah of dalad minim? Oh, machlokes the Gemara about the hiddur mitzvah and zekeli v'anveyu and hadar and lo meisim halukach. We spent a month on all the intricacies of lulav hayofish. But at the end of the day, machlokes atanoy. The Gemara in the third part of Sukkah talks about the possibility. If you hold that lulav yavish is kosher, you can actually reuse your lulav from year to year. Why not? Why do you have to waste money buying a new lulav every year? Just pull out last lulavs out of the closet. I shouldn't burn it with the chametz. It's a waste. I'll save it for another 6 months. I use it again in Sukkot. So we have the baskin. He can't do that. Why? Because we baskin to lulav yavish. It's no good. The Gemara tells a story that there was some place that they couldn't get lulav every year, so they had to reuse it. Is that a raya? Is it good? Those are things that we spoke a lot about on Tuesday night. But there was a practice in some communities, and according to some tanoim, it was actually sanctioned. If you'd actually accepted that idea, it's not a mutter to reuse a lulav. If that's true, you can reuse a lulav. So then our whole assumption that it's not really a kesher koyom because nobody cares about it. Really, nobody cares about it. I care about it. I want it to be around for next year. Once every 20 years, I buy myself lulav hadas min harabas. I invest in an egged. I tie it together. I use it this year and put it away. The same way that I put away my shofar for next year. Same way I put away my schacha, my sukkah for next year. I'm not saying put away my matzahs for next year. Put away my Pesach dishes for next year. So next year, I'm going to take out my lulav again. So that's Eilach HaKayam. I tie the lulav for the next 20 years. So if you hold that that sugya and sukkah that talks about the prohibition of tying lulavim is chacham v'yaskinan for the fellows who are going to reuse the lulavim, and we don't have any raya to our shatan, we have no idea what the answer to that question is. So we're back to square one. I'm still not sure. How do you define kayamos? Is kayamos a function of lamaisa? Was or was not? Was kayamos a function of what the person's plan psychology is all about? There is another fascinating raya that is brought by one of the gedolei hador several generations ago, the Maharal Diskin. Rav Shulam Diskin was originally the Rav of Brisk. He was called the Brisker Rav way before the Briskers were born, before the Brisker Rav, before we know that the Brisk was a city for a long, long time in Europe. Some people think that Brisk, Rav Chaim found the Brisk. Brisk existed way, 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 hundreds and hundreds of years, way, way, way before Rav Chaim. It's quoted in the Shach, and Chesed Mishpah quotes the Shaila, Shenechlu b'chachmei Brisk. There was a Shaila in Brisk, and the Chacham in Brisk about a certain Shaila. The Shach lived in the 1600s. So Brisk was an ear of Ein B'Yisrael hundreds and hundreds of years before. A little bit of a piece of trivial information. The name Brisk is not even the name of the city. It's not the real name. The real name of the city is Brest-Litovsk. So Yiddish, it became, rather than saying, where do you come from? Brest-Litovsk. It became shortened to Brisk. So if you look on the map for the city Brisk, and you will not find it. If you look for Brest-Litovsk, then you'll find it. So Shulam Diskin was the Brisker Rav back in the 1800s, and then he subsequently moved to Eretz Yisrael. He moved to Yerushalayim, and he became the Rav of Yerushalayim, the old Yeshuv. You're talking about that, the mid part of the 1800s, way before there was anything that resembles Eretz Yisrael it's like today. So the Maharal Diskin has a fascinating arayah to the Shah. He talks about the Shah. He wants to know what's the din of kosher, tof, all these malachas that may depend upon on kayama. What would the din be? If I make a kayama, it's going to last forever, but I couldn't care less about it. So it's a fascinating raya. This raya is from a sugi in Maseches Yuma. The Gemara says that on Yom Kippur, they would tie around the head of the sar, La'azazel, before they would send it down the cliff, they would tie around a red string, and then there was a nace. When they would push the sar over the edge, so as the sun was going down, the red string would turn white. And that was the sign of Mechilas Avonis. The Mishnah Yuma tells us that they had different times in history, they had different simanim to ensure them that the kapara was complete. It was the next. It was like we get in the Nisim, like the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos we met yesterday describes all the Nisim that happened to Beis HaMikdash. This one happens not to be on the list. But there were many Nisim, there were many demonstrations of Ashras Hashchina. In Bais Rishon, significantly more than Bais Sheni, but here the Mishnah you would describe that they used to still do this. Even they would tie up the string, and then the animal would go thrown down, and then it would turn white. So the Maharal Diskin is of Salom de Shavart. He said, wait a second, how could they tie around the string? It's a shot of Kaisha Yom Kippur. It's a Malach on Yom Kippur. It's always like an example. I've said many times, you get these sugyas where the Gemara tells us unbelievable maisa, my face with ruchnius, with kabbalah, everything, all these very, very hilgah things. And when the chassid and misnagid learn these sugyas together, so the chassid gets so overwhelmed with the ruchnius, and the misnagid, you can't get a misnagid out of him. He has a shayla, lamdash shayla. What's the lamdash shayla? In fact, the Maharal Diskin, I don't care about whether there's a kapara or not a kapara. What was the mat that tied the knot in the first place? It's like we've quoted many times when the Gemara says in Sukkah that Yeris and Menaziel used to learn, so the birds would fly over him, the birds would get burnt up from the Kedusha of the Torah of Yeris and Menaziel. So when the Chassid learned these Sukkah, he's so overwhelmed. Why? And what does the Misnagid say? So is that a Mazik of Eish? Is that an Adam a Mazik? Why? Is he Chayef to pay? Not Chayef to pay? Is it Oynes? Is it Shagim? It's Alam Dus. That's all that matters. Ruchnius is nice for the Rosh. That's nice. Ruchnius is good for Ruchnius time. But Tach is learning a Sugi in Shas. So Maharal Diskin, yes, it was a Brisker, pre-Brisker. So he's learning the Sugi like a Lamda, like a Misnagin. And he says, I don't understand. He said, how can you make this cash in the first place? Isn't it Shal Kayama? So Maharal Diskin says, I'll tell you now. I'll tell you why it's not Shal Kayama. Because the minute that this color turns and the sar flies down, that goes down the cliff, nobody could care less about that kesher anymore. If that kesher would be unraveled at some point in the future, nobody would lose any sleep over that. No one's going down to the bottom of the cliff to go untie the kesher. That is true. But it doesn't matter that the kesher is still there, as long as it's not cared about, as long as nobody's thinking about it, as long as nobody's conscious about it, nobody's wondering about it, that is by definition called a kesher she'ena shokayama, and therefore it would be permissible. So says the Maharal, this get a raya from the soil, who would have thought a billion years a raya from the soil of Azazel, but that's not called shokayama. So others were doiching the raya of the Maharal Diskin. Others said, what do you mean? It became undone. It's not psychologically undone. It physically was undone. You know how? What does the Mishnah say? Nasi varm varm. The animal fell down. It was crashed down the landing, and it was broken into many pieces, including the ribbon that fell off and got ripped into shreds on the way down over the rocky cliff. So there was no ribbon left to it. There was no kesher left to it anymore. So it was a shokayom pshuto kemashmo. So go bring a raya. Go. We have to wait. Maybe we're going to make this run a test case. We'll throw the sword down and hope and pray and see what happens. Is the Maharal Diskin's raya right? Maharal Diskin's learning that the metzias was the ribbon remained intact and it was still mutter. And others were like, no, the ribbon did not remain intact. At the end of the day, I don't know the answer to the question, so I'm not sure what the din is. But now, let's see if we can put some of these issues into some very, very real scenarios for us.
Rabbi Solovsky, did they tie the other half of the ribbon in the Beis HaMikdash?
Did they tie the other half? I forgot it. I think the Gemara says they tied the other half also. So, but it could be that the other half may have been tied before Yontif. See, the Sola Zozel, they couldn't tie before Yontif. They didn't know which one it was. So I was wondering about that. I was asking myself when I saw this riot, why didn't they tie it before Yontif? The answer is they didn't know which one it was. So I don't know. Thinking about it, I'm not sure. I don't know.
Was it tied in the Mikdash, which case there's no Malacha?
Oh, not so simple. Oh, very good, Maharal Diskin taught that. It's not true that there's no malach in the mikdash. Only things that are part of the Avedis Hayom that are really necessary. This idea of tying the string is not part of the Avedis. There's no mitzvah to do. If you don't do it, you get to the Avedis 100%. It's just it was a trick. It was a chap that they realized is going to work, but there's no halachic requirement to do it. Since it's not incumbent upon us to do it, it's not part of the Avedis, and therefore it would not have the head there of Avedis Tzibor, of Carbon Tzibor. Good, very good, excellent. So bottom line is, where can we take our Lulavim, where can we take our Esol HaZozel strings and plug them into some very, very real shadows for us to make? So let's talk about one of the most common shadows of Teufel in Korea. That's the issue of diapers on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Now, I'm going to preface by saying that many of the diapers that are used today are significantly less of a problem, because many of the diapers are Velcro. Velcro, we assume, is not really a malach of Teufel Korea altogether, because Velcro is really little like a billion little hooks in the little, almost like a little buttons or something, little hooks. It's not really a sticking kind of a mechanism. But a diaper is a potential problem based on a non-Velcro diaper. A sticky diaper with stick tape, with adhesive tape, is a problem based on the Rambam. The Rambam writes in the Chashabes that in order to violate Teufel, you need not take a needle and thread and sew. In order to violate Korea, you need not rip apart two materials. You could have the Araisa Dika Korea and Teufel with what's called Medavik Niyora, says the Rambam. Just simply gluing together pieces of paper is a Malacha the Araisa Tetolda of Teufel, and separating Mafra Ben Advekas, separating those glued together pieces of paper is a potential Malacha the Araisa of Korea. So for most of us, are not sewing up our suits or our buttons on Shabbos. Most of us, the kinds of Korean type of shahs we're going to have are going to revolve around this extension of the Rambam. Shemurah quotes this halacha, a medabik niyaros and mafri ben niyaros advukim. So what would the din be? I have my diaper in front of me, and let's say diapers that are not Velcro, for example. If anyone knows more up-to-date information, this is the best of my knowledge. Pampers are not Velcro. And any thumbs down on that one? Anyone want to disagree with me on that one? I think that Pampers, definitely when we've been Baruch Hashem, so that we have a grandchild, but we haven't been diapering him too much, but especially not these days. But remember from my days of diapering, so Pampers were still sticky tapes. And last I checked with somebody, Tamidim, with the new married ones, so they told me that they're still sticky tapes. So everything we're going to say still is relevant for Pampers, and it's going to be equally relevant for Band-Aids as well. So let's say I have my pamper in front of me, and I want to know, Rabbi, can I, dirty baby here, I want to undo the stick tape on the pamper, put it onto the baby, and stick it again. So believe it or not, there are four malachas d'araisa that may be violated with the simple act of diapering a baby. I didn't say anything about baby wipes yet. That was last sugyas. I'm talking just about the act of putting off and on a diaper. Four malachas d'araisa. One of the four malachas d'araisa, potentially. The baby's laying there dirty, so I have to first take off the diaper. So I undo the sticky, I undo the adhesive tape on the diaper. So that's malacha number one, malacha of kireya. I was just mafrid ben niyadovah. I take that dirty diaper and I want to throw it out. So I stick the sticky pieces together again, roll it up, throw it into a bag. Boom, I was just violating the malacha of teifer because I was medabik niyaros. I stuck the sticky pieces back together again. Now I take the clean diaper, open up the clean diaper. Wham, I just violated kareya again. Put the diaper onto the baby, close him up, and so close together, stick together the sticky tapes, I just violated teifer. So I just violated two kareyas and two teifers. Four malachas d'araisa, that's the bad news. The good news, I'm only chayef two chatnuses on that. Those who remember from, we're learning in Dafyomi, that's today's daf, the last couple of days daf, is a guy who does multiple malachas on Shabbos. So if a guy figured out how to do it with one helam, base helam, and say Shabbos in the middle, and this in the middle, that in the middle, helam zev zev yaday. So if you figure out what in the world's going on, the first five lot and the seventh parak of Shabbos, then you'll figure out exactly how many chatos is yechayef for diapering a baby. Bottom line, not a good plan. So what happened? How can we get this baby clean? How can we get these diapers on and off? So if one takes the approach that there's no heter kayama in tefira, then we're in big trouble. Because then we almost have nowhere to go. We may still have somewhere to go, but not yet. But if we go down that route, that unlike kosher, Topher and Korea are not subject to any leniencies in Uchus Kayama, then we have a huge problem, and there doesn't seem to be any way to get around that problem. So first and foremost, we have to be, but we would like to be makel on that shayla, that Kayama is a factor, does play a critical role. How can we just take that cavalier attitude? Didn't the Ramah say not that way? Didn't the Ramah tell us that it's true, but don't tell anybody that? How can I tell anybody about it? So some of the later posts can say that what the Ramah was opposed to, he didn't want people to be making on stitches. The last thing he wanted was women starting to sew on buttons and say, well, I'm only fixing the bottom of the pants temporarily. That's very unshabbistic. That's something that even though Me'ikra did, maybe one could argue with Mutter, as strange as that may sound, but that the Ramah thought would be a terrible Zozo Shabbos. Opening a diaper, most people don't even know that it's a problem in the first place. So, Mamanam Shach, the people who know it's a problem understand why it's mutter. We got exhibit over A over here. Okay. I think someone wanted a diaper to be clean. So if you hold that it's really mutter, it's just that we want to stay away from it. Maybe one can argue that's staying away from it. That Zilzal Shabbos maybe doesn't apply to diapers, band-aids, things. But even the Firos Pnei Adam, most people don't even chap there was a problem in the first place. If you tell the Hamon Am that you're allowed to sew, take a needle and thread and sew temporarily stitches, that's a bad practice on Shabbos. You tell the Hamon Am you can put a diaper on so people don't realize it was a problem in the first place. So yesh lochel. So anyway, however, no matter how you want to, having trouble muting somebody. Come on. He's an exciting baby down there. Okay, I think we got him muted. Okay. All right. Okay. He's a very talented baby. Figured out how to unmute himself. So getting back to our story. So if you want to go down the path that Me'ikra did, like the Ramah does side, that Kayama is a factor, then maybe we could discuss it. Wait a second. Is this Kayama? Is that Enosha Kayama? Let's go through the four stages again. When I take that diaper out of the package and I do that original undoing of that diaper, is that Eino Shekhoyama? What do you mean? The pieces of tape have been stuck together for 10 years. That's Hashayla. That was a machlag Zecharenim. Is that called Kiyama? Is that called Eino Shekhoyama? So yes, it's true on the calendar it's been stuck for 10 years, but when Mr. Pamper made it, he made it, Hini Mucham Zumar Das, that the customer should open up whenever he wants. Now, it could be that the customer never got around to buying this till 10 years later. It's been sitting, I bought these diapers for last baby. The baby already is out of diapers. I'm saving it for my grandchild. So if I still have diapers left for my other kids. So you have diapers sitting around in the house for 20 years. That's still called Eino Shekhoyama because these diapers are ready and rearing to go. They're ready to be opened that moment. They're on the front lines, ready for battle, ready to be opened as soon as they get the green light. So that's called Eino Shekhoyama. So if one wants to be makel to open up diapers, one is being makel a kula gabikula. Usually we talk about chumra gabikula, it's a kula gabikula, because number one, we're not 100% sure there's a kula of Eina Shekhayama, and we're not even sure this meets the criteria of Eina Shekhayama. Let's go on, let's take it again, the four steps, step by step of the diaper. So let's start again with the dirty baby. So you have a dirty baby, dirty diaper. I have to get that sticky tape off. So getting the sticky tape off is not so bad. It's only one kula. Why? It's Eino Shokayama. It was only stuck together 2 hours before. How long did the baby last, this diaper? So the original taking off the dirty diaper is only relying on one opinion, Rishon. We don't need the kula gavikula. But wait a second. What if I want to re-stick it to wrap it up and throw it into a bag? I don't want to get it all over the place. So that's like the Maral Diskin Shah. That's Lahava of us. That's like the halach equivalent. I can't even say it with a straight face. That's the halach equivalent to the Sa'al Azazel. Because here, I want to tie this diaper. I want to stick this diaper for the next 5 minutes. I couldn't care less when this ends up in my garbage can, inside a big bin of garbage with all the leftover chillant. I couldn't care less whether this diaper unravels or not. I am not going to the Bergenfield dump in a week from now to double check to make sure nobody open up my adhesive tape on my diaper. But between you and me, if you would go to that garbage dump and you would dig up your diaper, it would probably still be stuck together. Is that called Kayam or not? Some people aren't so sure. If this kid had a riot from Sola Zozo, others weren't so convinced about the riot. So now we have a cooler, gotta be cool again. So the original opening up of the dirty diaper is only one kula. The closing of the dirty diaper is a kula gabikula. The opening up of a new diaper is a kula gabikula. The closing of a new diaper is only one kula. Why? Because the closing of a new diaper is in Shekhayama. This baby's not going to last for a week in the dirty diaper. It's not going to last 24 hours in this diaper. So it's in Shekhayama. So as you can already begin to see, the opening and closing of diapers of these pamper types of adhesive strips is a kula. It's already starting off as a kula, and it may be even worse than a kula. Maybe a kula gabi kula. How should we be knowing in this? Assuming this is the only fact that we're going to continue on. Hopefully next week we'll throw in a few other kulas into the mix. So diapers are changed in our house also. Figure out what other possible kulas are. But this is definitely one significant path. So maybe one should argue and say, listen, the kulas will do, but the kulas are gabi kulas we don't have to do. So namely, when you take off a dirty diaper, so don't stick it back together again. So just take it and carefully throw it into a bag and wrap the bag up and throw it into the garbage. It's a convenience. I mean, it's normal. Most people do when they have a filthy diaper. They don't want it to open up all over them, so they tape it back together again and roll it up. So don't do that on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Hold off from that. How could we possibly avoid the kula gabi kula for the first opening of the diapers? You got a great idea. Open the diapers before Shabbos. Problem is, if you open the diapers before Shabbos, you lose the stick. So what do? Open and close them. Open them for a second and close them. Then that given opening that you're going to do 10 hours later, it's not Eina Shekhayama, and you don't have to rely on the factory kula. So maybe that would be a milus. Some folks can have that recommendation that if you don't want to rely on the super duper duper kula, every Friday afternoon right before Shabbos on your list of things to do, when you're checking, make sure your crock pot's set and making sure the Shabbos toilet paper is out there, open up your diapers. So open up all that for a second. Open your diapers, unstick and put them back together. Some posts give like that. I'll tell you, follow nice and shaykhah. So that used to be the practice at a house when my oldest child was born. So I used to try to be careful that even though we were being makil, I didn't say who was being makil, but different people in the family, there weren't that many people in the family, but other members of my household were being makil and the shaylas of the opening of the diapers. But I said, we don't have to be makil on everything. We don't have to make kulas like I'm a kula. So why don't we just follow this practice? We'll open the diapers before. So that's what I used to do every Friday afternoon. I would open up 10, 12, 15, whatever diapers I thought we'd need. I'd open up diapers and close them, open, close them. So this was going on for quite some time. And I remember the turning point of my life when I'd said, at Kandala Yosef. It was when my second child was born already. And my first child was still in diapers. And it was a series of 3-day Yom Tovim, which meant that if you just do the math, you have two children in diapers. So I don't know, you're averaging, or you're already starting off at approximately 25 diapers that have to be opened, times 3 days of Yom Tov. That's 75 diapers, 3 weeks in a row. It was Rosh Hashanah, Sukkot, Simchat Torah, saga. I was thinking to myself, that's 75, that's 225 diapers over the course of Chodesh Tishrei that have to be opened and closed. So I was starting to get a little bit overburdened with that. So I think shortly after that, they changed the policy in the house. Those who want to rely on the Mekilim, on the Kulz Agavi Kulz, Yeshem Lismaich. There are other Tzadav HaFu as well. The whole diaper is opening and closing is not only dependent upon the Shul Torah. This is one very, very important factor. But there may be other factors local as well. So next week, we'll try to flesh out a little bit some of the other aspects, some of the other possible coolers in terms of Lechis, Tofer, Korea, and then try to see the Band-Aids and then some other very, very real shilas, which won't happen, but issues of stitches. Forget about stitching clothing, stitching people, about stitches on Shabbos and Yom Tov, how much of Teufer is it altogether, some other odds and ends related to Melech of Teufer in Korea in terms of the medical kinds of procedures. We'll see, maybe we'll try to finish up the Melechas of Teufer in Korea, or not totally finish up, at least this dimension of the Melechas, perhaps next Sunday. Okay, wish everybody a wonderful day, wonderful week.
One quick question. When Rebbe mentioned by opening the diaper originally to be prepared for Shabbos Yontif, you might ruin the sticky part of it. Isn't that in itself create a heta? The fact that it won't last. The fact that you're concerned that when you open it up, that it might diminish the value. That's not really, you know, it's not really that good to begin with. It's not a given that it could last forever. So that itself should be the hat there.
You mean diapers themselves? That, yeah, but you know, even the word kayama doesn't mean forever, forever, forever. I mean, kayama may mean more than a day, more than a week. You know, so the mice. If you would run an experiment, you know, without a baby, just take a diaper, unstick it for a minute, and then stick it back together and see how long it lasts. My gut feeling is it's going to last for an awful long time. So, you know, again, you're right that in theory, after time, it's going to probably wear off. But I would imagine it's going to be a very, very long time. So, again, just
you know, it's in comparison to like very good glue. Though the diaper, it's not made to really last. In other words,
but the question becomes, where do you draw that line? You know, it's not so clear where the number kayom is. According to many, we showed them, once it's more than a day, it's already in the chashash of kayom already a little bit. So a day, a week, a month, you know, I don't know. Give an experiment. You gotta first go out and buy a pack of diapers, and then you gotta go find out what happens. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know. But my gut feeling
because the companies make them. When the companies make them, it's a safety issue. They can't make it that if you know something happens, it can't be ripped off. Unlike glue that's made to be permanent.
Oh, you're saying a different word now. You're saying maybe I misunderstood. You're saying a different factor that diapers are easily taken apart. Unlike glue that has to be yanked apart. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
And that's a different fact. Okay, maybe I misunderstood you. That's, we have to hang in there. That's part of a whole other story. And that's next. That's part of the other cooler. I don't want to tell the other cooler yet. I got to hang in for a week. That's part of the next cooler. Maybe there was no issue altogether because it was never really stuck in the first place. Okay, we have to hold on to the next week. Okay, good.
Okay, have a great day, Rabbi.
You too. Very good.